Amen, church. Amen. Church is exciting to be here this Sunday. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but I don't even care about Super Bowl right now. It's being in God's house. The profession I'm in, I have not been in church for a while. It's sad when you have four deaths in 3 weeks. Brother Ambrose, his wife, my college roommate's mother, the elder of the church that I attended in Knoxville, his daughter, which was a good friend of mine. His son is a great friend of mine. And then my own aunt. And not be able to attend any of the funerals. I mean, just not to attend it. Because I have an obligation that I made. When you finish 2-10 on the season and you're in the midst of recruiting season in football, you know, it don't cut it. It don't work out. But I have to be strong as a Christian. I have to be strong as a man of God. And we sometimes have moments in our lives where we don't know what's going on. One thing that I know that I do, and I make sure that I do this. You don't listen to anything I tell you today. Make sure you catch this one right here. Never ask why. Amen, church. Never ask why. We have an awesome God. And if we value his principles, we never have to ask why. I had a friend of mine tell me probably about 2 or 3 months ago. She goes, JJ, every time you get in a situation, it seems like you're off your feet. You always land on 2 feet. And that's because the values that my parents instilled in me. I mean, I was so blessed to have my parents. My dad's still alive, my mother's deceased. But the values that they just gave me. I was talking to some people at a birthday party last night, and they were talking about their struggles growing up. And I had one guy tell me, you know, he was in a situation one time where he didn't want to show the people in class that he had these bifocals he had to wear. And he ended up making an 8 on the ACT because he didn't want to put them bifocals on. Wanted to be a cool guy. And I think about just growing up and things that I didn't want to do, but I had to do them because I was a child of God. And no matter what somebody said, I had to my obligation to do those things because I'm a child of God. I'm not really good with the PowerPoints. I don't like them. I know I got more used to it because I'm coaching in college now, and you have to play and do things on PowerPoint. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. No matter what goes on in my life, I'm just not grateful. I'm so grateful. Good, bad, happy, sad, I'm grateful. To be grateful, you must have a mindset to be grateful. Amen, church. You got to have a mindset. Because I'm going to tell you, you have to understand that the scheme, now let me make sure, let me clear up this scheme, because I don't want anybody thinking I'm saying that the church and God and everything is scheme. So let me clear the word scheme up. All right, when we talk about scheme, we're talking about a blueprint. All right? A direction that is drawn up for you. And what God has done, he has schemed our lives. All right? He has schemed our lives. So I'm actually preaching next Sunday. So I don't have to get to everything today. I don't have to just bunch it up in one lesson. So, I want to talk about this today. This is why I'm so grateful. This means something to me. You have to put yourself second. It's hard. It's hard to put yourself second. It's hard to put something before you. Is it even natural? Is it natural? My best friend has started a little promotion deal that he does, and it says, I'm second. I'm second. At my age of 51, I don't care about being happy. What did he just say? Did Coach JJ get hit in the head during the season? I want to seek the kingdom of God. I want to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What righteousness? And all these things should be added unto you. Coach JJ just said he don't care about being happy. I must be going somewhere. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he should direct your path. Acknowledge him. I don't know about you guys. I'm a big wrestling fan. My wife, she's like, you really watch that fake stuff on Mondays and Fridays. And I tape it now. I tape it so I can fast forward the commercials. So I'm at least managing my time better. You know what I'm saying? And matter of fact, they were in town on Friday, and I really was trying to make it, but I couldn't. And there's a guy that's the WWE champion. His name is Roman Reigns. I don't know if you got any wrestling fans in here. And he comes up, and they make a big deal when he walks into the ring, and he's supposed to be the best wrestler that's out there right now. And he walks out there, and he struts. He's got a little swag about him. And he says, acknowledge me. And he over and over and over, acknowledge me. So I'm going to tell you how things get done. So I got a guy that's a big time football player. And we was trying to keep him in school. Jeffrey Johnson. And my wife don't like Jeffrey because, and I know she's a Christian, but she don't kind of like Jeffrey. Because Jeffrey takes up all my time. And so Jeffrey was trying to go to the league. Well, I talked Jeffrey into coming back another year, which I did this last year, which almost ruined one of our vacations, huh? So Jeffrey decided to come back. Big victory. But then Jeffrey gets in this thing called a portal where guys can, you know, test the market, see where they want to go and to see if they can get acknowledged. So the first day, he gets an offer from LSU. Okay, so I really better be seeking God right here, right on Jeffrey. Then he gets an offer from Oklahoma. So Jeffrey calls me and says, Coach, they're offering me $12,000 a month. NIL, college press can get paid now. What do you tell a kid that has not grown up with money, that has not, he's never seen $12,000 a month. So Jeffrey signs with Oklahoma. And on signing day, Jeffrey puts, acknowledge me. Okay. So we have a what we call a tribal chief on defense. That's Nick Anderson. So Nick Anderson calls me, and Nick's not happy about him saying, acknowledge me, because everybody know what acknowledge me means around our facility. And we got to get Jeffrey back. Now, you know, there's certain things you can do in social media with the NCAA. So you got to be careful about what you're doing. You want to make sure you're classy when you do it. So 2 days before signing day, we sign a guy that's bigger than Jeffrey, weighs more than Jeffrey, and probably has more upside than Jeffrey. And somebody put on social media picture of me standing like this and him standing like Andre the Giant, and it says, acknowledge me. What I'm talking about acknowledge me is if you don't acknowledge God properly, you will never be able to seek him. I'm going to say it again, church, because they all look at me like I'm, if you don't acknowledge God properly, you can't even seek God. It's not even close. How do I acknowledge God? Because it's so, in all your ways. Wow. Brother Ambrose, I got ways? See, the first thing you got to do is admit that you better be glad that Jesus went up on that rugged cross and died for the remission of our sins, because we are sinners. Am I perfect, too? Don't look so excited when you shake your head no. I'm not perfect. But I understand the principles of God to acknowledge him, because I know I have my ways. But listen to this, church. And he shall direct your path. So if I acknowledge him, if I trust him, if I value him, if I keep his principles, he's the remote control. And as he's the remote control, all I got to do is let him guide me. But it's hard to do that, right? It's hard to do that. Amen. It's hard to sit back and you're dealing with an issue and you don't want him to, because you want to do it yourself. You want to drive the car yourself. How consistent will we be? Because he just said, he shall direct your path. Let's look at that word shall. That word shall has the connotation of a promise. So when God gives you a promise, he's going to deliver on his promise. So I can say, and he shall promise me that he's going to direct my path. Paths. That means more than one. So if he's promising me, that means the fight is fixed. It's already been predetermined. But if we don't let him drive, it's not predetermined now. Now we got to go back to timeout. A humble man undefeated. I preached this probably the last time I preach this. A humble man is undefeated because his mindset is he's letting God do everything. The hardest thing to do in the world, in my opinion, is have somebody rebuke you and you sit there and you take it and you don't say anything. How many of us could just let somebody just rip into us and we sit there and we take it? I'm just going to listen. He might be right. He might not. She might not be right. But I'm going to listen and I'm going to get the feedback out of whatever they're saying. And if it can make me better, what am I going to do? That's what I mean by being humble. And now I'm undefeated because if I humble myself in every situation, I'm going to always grow. Through a win or a loss. Some of my best losses, I gain more knowledge than the victories. Amen. Sometimes we got to take that L to get a W. Gratitude is a self-fulfilling prophecy for peace, joy, and love. A mindset. It's a mindset. So how do I seek God? I have to have a mindset to seek God. I have to have organization in my mind to seek God. See, I think I'm talking about seeking God. I'm talking about really seeking God. I'm talking about seeking Him before anybody else. Before I pay my bills. Before I tell my wife I love her. Before I tell my kids I love them. Before I watch a football game, go to work, do anything I want to do, the first thing I got to do is seek Him. Acknowledge Him. And I got to have a mindset because that devil, when you announce that you're going to seek God, he's coming with a right, he's coming with a left, he's coming with a big fight because he know now, hold it now, I'm not going to let you go seek Him first. Because if I can cut it off right now, I'm not going to let you seek Him first. Because He knows if you seek God and you stay with it over and over and over and over, He's done. He's done. The victory's yours. But we got to get to the point where we seek first and let everything else come. And it starts with your mindset. People say, man, that dude's little, man. How do you play that long? Mindset. Mindset. I didn't care. My mindset was I was going to let God drive my path. And I would have never known this. I didn't know the principles I was using. I didn't. My parents just told me. I listened. I think the biggest thing from going to a good Christian to a great Christian is your listening skills. My wife always about, you don't listen, you don't listen. So this football season, I started studying listening. Because my guys didn't listen this year. And my definition of listening is the ability to hear and execute at a high rate what you hear. See, because if I hear it, but I don't execute it, right? So I got to be able to execute what I'm hearing. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Principle, right? All right, let's see where we at. Seek. Ooh. Now we're going to dive deep into seek. The Greek, one of the translations for seek, is to be intimate. So when you seek something, you have to be intimate at what you're seeking. All right? I met my wife. I saw her. She was nice. I said hello. She said hello. She don't remember, but it is what it is. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to seek her. So now I'm playing for the Saints now, so I should be able to get a date, you know, not hard. It took me 30 days. 30 days, church. She wanted to do her investigation. See, I didn't know she had it covered, too. Her best friend was dating one of the guys in the secondary, so she was getting all the dirt on me to make sure that I passed clearance. And I'm not mad at her about that, right? I'm not mad about that. You won't be evilly yoked. But it took me 30 days. But I knew I wanted to be intimate with her. And I had to seek her. And that's what we have to do when it says seek ye first. We have to have an intimate relationship. But guess what, church? If we don't have the mindset, it's not going to happen. If we don't have the mindset that we're going to have to acknowledge this guy, we're going to have to trust him, we're going to have to value him. Because I tell you what, the whole chapter 6, Matthew 6, when Jesus was on the mountain, he's teaching these guys. All he was doing was motivating. He's doing the same thing I'm doing right now, is motivating. All right? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and people laugh at my coaches laugh at me until I had to break it down to them. Matthew 6:3. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing. So what was going on is they were bragging and boasting about what they were giving, what they were doing. All right, and Jesus was like, man, you ain't gotta do that. Seek me, acknowledge me. You're gonna get what you're gonna get. I'm going to take care of you, but you don't have to advertise what you're doing. You don't have to advertise it. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing. It's a principle. You don't tell your business. You ain't out here in the streets, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God wants that humble person. That person that understands what he's doing. I mean, this whole chapter of Matthew, the 6th chapter, you could preach a whole year on just Matthew chapter 6. He's telling you everything that you should not be doing. And one of them is worrying, fear. Why do we worry? Because we don't trust God. Why are we worrying? Why do we have fears? Why do we have problems? Why do we have high blood pressure? We won't acknowledge him. We won't acknowledge him. We will not acknowledge him. This is the reason why I don't want happiness. I want to seek God. Because if I seek God, that's going to springboard more than happiness. I'll be able to cover it from A to Z. Talked about being intimacy with God, the kingdom. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, behold, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is right here. And this is what we are seeking, is to be part of the kingdom of God. I was talking to a brother of mine in Christ, and he started out as a Muslim. He was Louis Farrakhan's right-hand man. He came to the Church of Christ. Actually, he baptized Ray Lewis, and he went away from it. People were talking about him, you know, you're a big deal, and, you know, you're on this show, you're on that show, and the spotlight shouldn't be on you, but should be on God. Okay, guys, let's just be honest. If this guy is professing Jesus Christ, and he's teaching, and he's pure in the heart, And he's not out here saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Then he's not after himself. And that's the thing that we have to do as Christians. When we seek God, we change our attitudes. That's why I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. I don't care what happens. I'm never going to let somebody see me when I'm sick a little bit. Because I'm grateful. I know what God has done for me. I mean, honestly, there's no way that I should have even done what I've done in NFL, in college football. It's no way. But you know what? Because I seek God and my principles were seen by coaches who trusted me. As a coach, I understand that now because I'm not going to play a guy I don't trust. Amen. His righteousness. Brother Ambrose, can I put you on the spot here? What's your definition of his righteousness? Don't have to be pointed on. Just give me your definition. See, I didn't go to law school. That was over my head. As old man, I didn't go to law school. I was trying to, and I got sidetracked. Seriously. That's a good definition. My definition of righteousness is his character. His character. See, we want to seek him, and we want his character. I mean, think about this. We're not perfect. Only Jesus walked on this earth at 100%. If we could just get to 80% of God, just 80% of it, don't y'all think that would cover you guys? 80% of his character? I mean, that's tough. But his character is what I'm after. And you know the funniest thing? I'm 51. And it took me 51 years to realize that. So we're always evolving. We're always learning. We're always adding to our principles. Shall. I talked about shall earlier. It's a promise. God is making promises to us. We need to get out the way and let God be God. It's the toughest thing, too. It really is. We want to fix everything. And when we humble ourselves, we get our mindset right, we get the character of God, then that's when things start going well for you. I'm a little bit late. I like to just go from it. PowerPoints are tough for me. Right. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. What do we learn? What do we learn? We're learning his character. We're learning trust. See, I've not spent a lot of time on trust. That's for next week. Because if we don't trust God, it's hard to be in some situations that you're in and think you're going to come out of them if you don't trust him. That's hard. I didn't make it to bed this morning. My wife's going to be mad. But one of the rules that she has in her bedroom that you don't leave the bed unmade. And sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I don't feel like making up the bed. But I have to what? I have to value her principles, respect her principles. And that's where the character of God comes into place. that's not a battle I'm going to lose. I got to win that one. That's an easy one. The easy ones are layups. You got to win the easy ones, right? Because the devil's here to kill, steal, and destroy, and the tough ones are the ones that you're going to have to deal with. And I've learned, though, church, you take the easy ones to God, and you take the hard ones to God. And you don't pick and choose. You don't pick and choose. You're consistent with taking everything to God. Think about this, man. Intimacy, when you're seeking God, you have to yearn for Him. You have to yearn for God. How many of us are Judgment Day honest that we're really yearning for God? How many of us are just like, this is my God? But as I told you before, it has to be a mindset. And that's the reason why next week I will talk about why the culture will override the scheme. I'm going to say it again. Your culture will override the scheme. Now, we already know that God has a perfect scheme. It's perfect. Waterproof. But why we override it is because we trust Him. See, when you talk about culture, that's in your house. You talk about culture, that's in your marriage. You talk about culture. What are you doing on your job to promote a great environment where people look at you like you said earlier? I'm identifying you right now as a Boy Scout, some type of leader of the Boy Scouts. I can identify you by what you're wearing. How can people identify us on the job? How can people identify us at the grocery store? Boy, I got upset one, like, I think it was two weeks ago. And this lady comes out and she has a basket. And she just leaves the basket right in front of my car. And I think that's a big character flaw. That you don't take that basket and put that basket back where it belongs. That's the character flaws. When I'm recruiting kids, I ask them that question. So if you're in a grocery store, okay. Boom, boom, boom. Because you got to kind of play it off so they won't know you really evaluate them. And, you know, it's like when Jesus was in front of Pilate and he said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus was like, "Some say I am." Yeah. Jesus played the game. Now, I don't think Jesus didn't play it. And I'm asking the kid, I'm like, "So you're at a grocery store and your mama tell you to, you know, you taking the basket out, you put the groceries in the car. What do you do next?" And when a kid tells me that he's going to just leave the basket there, and when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And I'm not saying I can't go back and help the guy out. But your first initial thought of this kid is there's some character issues, or he's not been taught. Because at the end of the day, your character will allow you that mindset. Okay, so that means I'm done, right? Church, I did not talk about the last part of Matthew 6 and 33. Because it says that all these things will be added unto you. Okay? I like to read from the King James on translations. And it says, unto you. That means right before you. That means you still hadn't got it. That means there's some work to do. You got to reach down there and you got to pick it up. See, so even though we seek God in his righteousness, in his kingdom, we still got to pick it up. It's going to be set there right before us. And all we got to do is keep your chest up so you won't pull your back, drop down, pick it up, and move on. I'm challenging everybody today to evaluate yourself. Give yourself feedback. I study a word a year. Feedback was last year. Expectations this year. So what are my expectations if I seek God the way God wants me to be seeked? Because he's already said if you seek him, all that stuff he talks about in the 6th chapter of Matthew, he's just checking it off. Check it off. Check it off. You ain't got to worry about money. Check it out. You ain't got to worry about food. Check it out. You ain't got to worry about health. Check it out. He's checking the list off. But if we don't seek him properly with the right mindset, the list won't get checked off. There's 3 types of people, and I'll be finished. 1, the person that won't seek God. They won't seek him first. And they can be happy, they can do all this other stuff, but will they really have the value of God? 2, it's the people that don't seek him first. Amen, church. You got people that seek him, but he's not first. Then 3, the Christian, that will seek him first. It's looking for more than just material things. More than just the word happiness. Looking for the character of God to reign in their life. Ain't that a beautiful thing? When the character of God can reign on your life. See, because when you get rain and water, that's growth. Amen. I'm country. I farm. Watering and vegetables and all that stuff. Yeah, the more water, the more fertilization, the better the crop. Just that simple. Same thing with us as Christians. Exact same thing. So we got to water. It's just like lifting weights. If you put work in, you're going to get work out. But if you're working wrong, now you're causing. Church, please continue to pray for me and my family. The devil is busy right now, and we must understand his resume. He's not here to make it easy for us. His job is to be the B-side fighter and attack God's people at all times. And we got to be able to have the wisdom to understand that we're, especially when we're going to seek him first, that we're going to get attacked. And we got to have the mindset to hold off the attack. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear kind, gracious Father, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak your word. Father, we rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that every member here will want to yearn for Jesus, want to yearn for God yourself. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us, continue to allow us to see first. That have been going around this year so far, Father. Father, we know that you supply all our needs according to Jesus' richness. Father, comfort us and bless us and give us the ability to love no matter what the situation is. Father, we do not want to deal with fear, so allow us to study you to get away from the fear that's in our hearts. Father, please be with this congregation. Be with our leadership, Father. Strengthen them, Lord. Give them the manifold wisdom that you give out unrichly. Lord, just be with every member here, Father. Allow us the mindset that we will yearn for you, that we will acknowledge you. And Lord, allow us the power that you give us. We love you. We give you all the glory. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Father, continue to shine your light on this church. If you are in agreement, say amen. Amen.